So we'd like to pray for Sarah who leads us today. Father God, we lift Sarah up to you. Thank you for her heart and pray for her strength and her ongoing battle with energy. Lord, thank you for this place. We ask you to fill each of us today with you. With your Holy Spirit, and thank you, Lord. Amen.
I usually have wine for communion on Sundays, but I didn't have it today. I was water, and I was like, well, maybe Jesus will turn it into wine as I drink it, but still water. I would like to apologize for my face. You can see it's happening already. You see this thing that happens here? It's growing up the side. Do not adjust your sets. This is just what happens to my body under stress. I don't know. I'm not stressed, but my body appears to think that it is. So there we go. Okay. So today, my title for today's message is Jesus, Your Biases Are Showing. And the question, Jesus had biases? Surely not. But I think maybe he did. And hopefully that thought will make sense by the time I'm done. Or you can just take me out and stone me for being a heretic. I suppose I shouldn't rule that out. But there's nobody here to do it. Anyway, I'm curious, which do you find it easier to think or believe? I've got a poll. I'm going to actually get you to vote. So here's the question. Which do you find it easier to believe? Jesus is God? Jesus is human, both, or something else? These are all anonymous. Feel free to vote now. Ooh, fun seeing it all come in. We'll go back there in a second. I'll just give you a minute to vote. Okay. So we've had 17 votes, and we've got Jesus is God for three of them. Two, Jesus is human. They're still coming in. 12, Jesus is both. And one, something else. Oh, now I'm really intrigued. Okay. I'm going to talk about Jesus as God, and Jesus is fully human today. So that's interesting. I like that there's lots of both in there. And I'd love that person who's something else. We'll chat later. Anyhow. Okay. It might be easiest to think about Jesus being God, especially when we see him doing all the things that he does in the Gospels. As we've said many, many times, and I'm sure you've heard us say, Jesus shows us what God is like. Brian Zand says it this way. Doesn't say it that. He says this. God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus. There has never been a time when God was not like Jesus. We have not always known what God is like, but now we do. We've had inklings about God before, but Jesus made it plain. The psalmist has an idea about what God is like. And in Psalm 146, this is Wilder Gaffney's translation. It says this, bringer of justice to the oppressed, bringer of bread to the hungry. The compassionate God sets the prisoners free. The all-seeing God opens the eyes of the blind. The just God lifts up those who are bowed down. The righteous God loves the righteous. The mother of all cares for the stranger. Orphan and widow she bears up, but confounds the way of the wicked. The majestic one shall reign forever and ever. Your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. If you read the Gospels, you can find examples of Jesus doing all of those things. And the psalmist hadn't met Jesus yet, but he kind of had an inkling of what was coming because he kind of knew what God was like, but only kind of. But then Jesus shows the whole deal. We see Jesus doing those things and we praise him for it because, like the psalmist says, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. In this way, it's easy to think of Jesus being God because he's demonstrating with his actions what God is like over and over. I'm sure you could do this too, but I went through the Gospels and I just found one example for each of these statements about what God is like in that psalm. So Jesus is the bringer of justice to the oppressed. He stands up for the woman accused of adultery, steps into her situation to intervene between her and her accusers. He's the bringer of bread to the hungry, and we have stories of him feeding 4,000, 5,000, multiplying bread by dividing it mysteriously. Jesus is the compassionate God setting the prisoners free. In the region of the Gerasenes, there was a man who came out to meet Jesus who'd been living in the burial caves. The story goes that he could no longer be restrained, even with a chain, which goes to show that he had previously been chained up. Gosh, this guy was suffering. The poor man wandered among the caves day and night, howling and hurting himself. He was in serious distress. And then Jesus set him free. Although he was no longer bound by chains because they couldn't hold him, Jesus set him fully free by sending the evil spirits that were tormenting him into the pigs and over the cliff and drowned them in the lake. Jesus is the all-seeing God who opens the eyes of the blind, Bartimaeus being just one example of that. There were others, but it's easy to remember him because we have his name. Jesus is the righteous God who lifts up those who are bowed down. There was the story of the woman who was brought very low and desperate by 12 years of constant bleeding. She reached out and touched Jesus. She sneaked up. She's touched him stealthily, or so she thought, and Jesus felt the power go from him to heal her. Jesus is mother of all, and we see Jesus over and over again caring for the stranger, caring for the orphan, caring for the widow. Jesus is impressive. He does pretty impressive things. But then he has a leg up on us, right? Because he's got, is that an expression that is used here, or is that just a British thing? It's an, okay, good. I don't know when I'm talking whether I'm just saying stuff that you're just going, what is she even talking about? Okay, so he has a leg up on us because he is God. It could be said that we can't do all the things because we aren't God like he is. And of course we aren't God like he is, but we are children of God, like Brad said in the Beatitudes that he read last Sunday. But also, Jesus isn't just God either. Jesus is also human. And this story is going to show us a side of his humanity. We sometimes forget the fully human part, or we think that because he's fully God, then his fully humanness is somehow much better than ours. We kind of have the idea that Jesus's fully humanness was more like superhumanness. But was it? The story from the lectionary today is a really great example of his ordinary, just like us humanness. And I hope that in this story, we will find an encouragement from him and a challenge and see what Jesus does as a how-to as we live our lives as children of God. What is it to be human? I'm going to ask you that question and ask you to put it in the chat. What is it to be human? There is an initiative called the Human Origins Initiative that Smithsonian Museum is running, and they are asking the public that question. It's a fun site, and you can actually enter your answer in their website, and then you get a selection of answers that people have put in, and you can read what they say. I'm going to read you a few while you think of your own. So, what is it to be human? It's not an easy answer to that question. True story. But what is it to be human? Go on, think. You got it. Humans have feelings. Okay. Cody from Colorado says it's to be self-aware about our past, present, and future. To feel deeply. It's Dat Boy from North Carolina, not probably their real name, said being human is so much more than just being able to read and write. Our emotion and creativity makes us unique. Ayush from Kirkland, Washington says to be human is to be the most intelligent species on Earth. Discuss. Really? Rosie in Canada says to be human is to have perspective. Consciousness? Question mark. A human from Australia, obviously also not their real name, says to be capable of understanding complex concepts and to apply such concepts and problems to the real world. Sherry and Dave from White Rock said to be connected to the human species, whether you like it or not. Mike from Douglas, Nebraska says to wonder, study, inquire, question, learn, and create. For example, why are things in the universe the size they are? Good question. And I have one from about what I'm about to talk about, which is being human is having biases aimed at looking after ourselves and our kin. So have you ever caught yourself expressing your bias and wondered where it came from? Have you ever been called out by someone else on your biases? All the time. Have you ever been challenged by yourself or someone else on what you think about someone or a situation because of your cultural biases? Everybody nods. We all have cultural biases. We can't help it. It's just good to know what they are so that we can be thoughtful about how you respond with or determined to work against them. And the good news is you are not alone. Every human has biases, and Jesus had cultural biases too. What heresy, I hear you cry. Jesus was perfect. Okay, but Jesus was also fully human, who grew up in a certain time and a certain place in a specific culture that had rules up the wazoo, like we all do. If we judge Jesus against the standards of Jesus is God and therefore perfect, then we downplay his humanity. Jesus was fully human too. He was immersed in culture like we are and carried his own particular set of biases, which will be different to ours, but they were biases nonetheless. When we forget that Jesus was fully human, then this story is shocking. Let's read it the first time and just hold the thought that Jesus is fully God, okay? So even if you have the I think both, or I think Jesus is human, try and hold the idea Jesus is fully God. Perfect. No biases, fully God. So here's the story. Hold, please. Here's the story. Jesus went from there to a place near Tyre. He entered a house. He didn't want anyone to know where he was, but he couldn't keep it secret. God is distant, standoffish, doesn't want to be near people. That's probably not it, but let's start again. Jesus went from there to a place near Tyre. He entered a house. He didn't want anyone to know where he was, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Soon a woman heard about him. An evil spirit controlled her little daughter. The woman came to Jesus and fell at his feet. She was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I'm sorry, Jesus. Rude. Did God just call this Greek woman and her daughter dogs? I mean, nothing against dogs. I've met some very nice dogs, but that sounds like an insult. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, that was a good reply. You may go. The demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. So if Jesus is fully God, in this telling, God is either mean, a racist, testing her, or all of the above. If Jesus is fully God and showing us who God is, then I'm not sure about this God, if we only have this story as a reference and forget that Jesus is fully human too. But let's read it again. And this time, let's think about Jesus being fully human. Jesus went from there to a place near Tyre. He entered a house. He did not want anyone to know where he was, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Now God isn't standoffish, but God is human who needs some space, who needs a bit of replenishing. The introvert in me loves the way Jesus keeps on trying to find space away from everybody else. He gives me permission to do the same. He took his friends away into the hills. He went off by himself regularly to pray to his father. This is just bonus content that proves that Jesus is human. But anyway, back to the story. Soon a woman heard about him. An evil spirit controlled her little daughter. The woman came to Jesus and fell at his feet. She was a Greek born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Jesus's cultural bias was towards his own people, the children of God. And his culture was set against the Gentiles and excluded people like this woman. I mean, A, she's a woman, and B, she's a Gentile. So there's two strikes against her culturally. But she is bold and she calls Jesus out on his biases. And she does it really well. Lord, she replied, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And I love what Jesus does next. He listens to her. And not only listens to her, but is challenged by her because he hears her. Then he told her, oh, that was a good reply. You may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus told her, that was a good reply. I don't believe that he was testing her. I don't believe he had dismissed her so that she would be persistent. You know, sometimes we go, oh, this just shows that we need to keep asking and keep asking. Like, no, I don't know that it was about that. I think the fully human Jesus was speaking from his bias towards his people and away from hers. His cultural bias is saying, look, we're the children of God. You guys, not so much. He isn't testing her. He's not challenging her faith, but she's challenging him and questioning his expression of his faith. And I love that. And I also love what Jesus does when he's challenged, or rather what he doesn't do. Jesus doesn't get defensive. He doesn't dig in harder. He doesn't dismiss her. He listens. And he changes his perspective. And then he heals her daughter. Perhaps Jesus's inner dialogue takes him back to Rahab the prostitute, who was the only one along with her family to be saved. Remember that time that Joshua and his army marched around the wall seven times and then blew trumpets and everything fell apart? Rahab was the only one who got saved, her and her family. And it says that Rahab and her descendants now live with the Israelites from now because of that moment. Perhaps Jesus thought about how she and her family had been spared because of the way that she helped the spies. Rahab might have been voted least likely to deserve rescue because her race, and because her profession, and because, again, she's a woman, but she was rescued because of her actions. Jesus, looking at the foreigner in front of him, might have chosen not to help her because of who she was, and because of his bias against her, because of her womanhood and her nationality, but instead, because of her actions and her faith, he healed her daughter. Wilda Gaffney, in her commentary on this interaction, says, it's as a foreign woman that a desperate mother is first turned down by Jesus when she asks for healing for her daughter. His response to the foreign woman, although he's in her country, interrupting his suicide retreat, is culture bound and perhaps unwelcome evidence that Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine. And his humanity is not always seamlessly integrated with his divinity. Let me read that again. Jesus is fully human and fully divine, and his humanity is not always seamlessly integrated with his divinity. His instinctual response, shaped by his cultural information, is an opportunity for us to relate to as well and reflect on the things that shape us and our engagement with those who are different to us. And it being Lent, repent where necessary, meaning changing patterns of behavior and stepping towards changing our assumptions, our biases, our instincts, and our impulses, just like Jesus did. So can you imagine yourself into this story? Take a minute. What if you're the woman coming to Jesus? You're coming seeking help for your child. And what if Jesus rebuffs you? What is your response? Do you give up, presuming that you're wrong, or you've made a mistake? Or do you question Jesus and help him see things differently? What if you're one of the disciples watching this happen? Perhaps you agree with Jesus at first. Your cultural biases are his cultural biases after all. Too right, you think. How dare she ask such a thing? Who does she think she is? A woman? A Greek woman? Dogs indeed. But then Jesus listens to her and does an about face in response. Hold on. What? You're going to help her? Oh, wow. I guess the love of God goes much further than I thought it did. Are you shocked by Jesus? Are you confused? Are you delighted? Are you challenged? We are all shaped by our cultural information. Our background determines who deserves safety and rescue, like the story of Rahab. Our culture determines who gets help, like the story of the Greek woman and her daughter. But should that be the determiner? No, because we are children of God. And we need to go through the process like Jesus did and allow ourselves to get called out and then listen and then change. I saw a post this week and the thing said, the answer to the question, am I my sibling's keeper, is a resounding yes. Which was Rabbi Rebecca Alpert. And then another rabbi, Daniel Ruttenberg, commented on this quote, saying, needless to say, the question was asked of the mythic ancestors to us all, and this story is Cain and Abel. We are all each other's siblings. We are all related through the same mythic ancestors. Am I my sibling's keeper? Yes. Our cultural stories decide who gets to be safe, who gets to stay safe, who deserves good things, who doesn't. But that's not how it's meant to work. In the kingdom of God, in the system that Jesus came to establish, everyone is deserving, everyone is loved, and everyone gets protection. Am I my sibling's keeper? Abso-flippin-lutely. And if my bias says otherwise, then it's my bias that needs tweaking. And I need to respond like Jesus, who didn't get defensive, didn't dig in harder, but instead said, good answer, you're right. Your work here is done, and your daughter is healed. And I have a bonus thought from ones that I've gathered around in and about and around the place this week. It says, it's another rabbi, actually, Rabbi Tarfon this time. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. And then this is important. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. So this is how we walk out being children of God. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And that's exactly what Jesus modeled to us in this story, in this interaction with the Greek woman. So back to my title, Jesus, Your Biases Are Showing. I am actually really grateful that Jesus's fully humanness was right there on display. It gives me a really good, real great comfort in my own. I'm glad his biases showed as they did, and that his responses give me a pathway to adjust my own when mine inevitably rise up in different situations. The end. Let's pray. Jesus, fully human, fully God, who understands us oh so well. Thank you for showing us how to respond justly with mercy, love, and humility. When it is within me to do justice, may I choose to be just. Remind me that I am indeed my sibling's keeper. When it is within me to love mercy, may I choose love every time. When it is for me to walk humbly, may I always choose the low road and be willing to learn from whoever is in front of me. Amen.